Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. When we left off last time, we were talking about cherubim. That is the plural of the singular cherub. These are angels, celestial beings created by God to serve God. And we read about them early on in the Bible here at Genesis 3, verse 24. Let me get this text back on your mind as we end the week together. So the Lord God drove the man out, and at the east of the Garden of Eden he stationed the cherubim and the flaming sword which turned every direction to guard the way to the tree of life. To understand this verse, we have talked about what is in the east of the Garden of Eden. And now we are talking about the cherubim, and next week, the flaming turning sword. Then we will be done with this chapter. The Word of God actually says a lot about cherubim and their close association with God Himself. Yesterday, we peered into Ezekiel chapters 1 and 10. We also read about them in that magnificent vision of the Apostle John in Revelation chapter 4. That is of the throne room in heaven where the cherubim, or the living creatures, day and night, do not cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is to come." While we do not know what these cherubim guarding the way to the tree of life at the garden in Eden, Genesis 3, looked like, the Israelites seem to have known when God commanded them to incorporate cherubim into the Ark of the Covenant and the tabernacle. If you have your Bible there with you, turn with me to the Old Testament writing of Moses in the Exodus. We will do some reading in Exodus chapters 25 and 26 and elsewhere. And we'll start in chapter 25. Here we read about the cherubim, again closely associated with the presence of Holy God. For context regarding the integration of cherubim in the Ark of the Covenant, I will read Exodus 25, verses 10, 11, and 17 through 22. I hope you will follow along as I read Exodus chapter 25, verses 10, 11, and 17 through 22, and listen for the cherubim. "They shall construct an ark of acacia wood. You shall overlay it with pure gold inside and out. You shall overlay it, and you shall make a gold molding around it." Down to verse 17, Exodus 25, 17. "You shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. You shall make two cherubim of gold. Make them of hammered work at the two ends of the mercy seat. Make one cherub at one end and one cherub at the other end. You shall make the cherubim of one piece with the mercy seat at its two ends. The cherubim shall have their wings spread upward, covering the mercy seat with their wings and facing one another. The faces of the cherubim are to be turned toward the mercy seat. You shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony which I will give to you. There I will meet with you, and from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim which are upon the ark of the testimony, I will speak to you about all that I will give you in commandment for the sons of Israel." Wow. I read that and I am bursting with awe. Are you with me? Here is Holy God Himself speaking to Moses and instructing him with great clarity and precision. "Moses, this is exactly what I want." Notice in verse 22, "There I will meet with you," and "I will speak to you." God meets, God speaks, and "I will give you in commandment for the sons of Israel." God commands. Well, where exactly is God going to meet His people? at the mercy seat and between the two cherubim. If you can picture this in your imagination, and the Bible stimulates our imagination, these two angelic beings, one at one end and one at the other end of the mercy seat, they rise up to join as one. They face one another, and their outstretched wings join to form an arch over the mercy seat. And this is where God will come. His presence will descend right above the mercy seat between the two cherubim. And the mercy seat, by the way, speaks profoundly of Jesus Christ. So as we saw yesterday in Ezekiel and Revelation, so too now we see that the cherubim belong to God, and they guard and accompany his presence. In the rank of the myriad of angels, cherubim are very high. And then as we proceed in Exodus, we come to chapter 26, and we find God commanding that cherubim be sewn into the curtains and the veil for the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. Exodus is an awesome book. The first two books of the Bible really are two of my favorites. I find it so fulfilling to read and understand them, and satisfying when I apply them to my life. So come with me now to Exodus 26 and listen to verse 1. Moreover, you shall make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twisted linen and blue and purple and scarlet material. You shall make them with cherubim, the work of a skillful workman. The cherubim that we read about in Genesis 3, the likeness of them was to be sewn into the curtains in the tabernacle. And then still in Exodus 26 and at verse 31, we read, "You shall make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet material and fine twisted linen. It shall be made with cherubim, the work of a skillful workman." This veil divided the tabernacle into the holy place and the Holy of Holies. And if you will recall, when Jesus Christ yielded up his spirit and died on the cross, this veil at the temple then was torn in two. I'm reading Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27 and verse 51. "And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split." Remarkably, that divine act gives all believers in the Lord Jesus Christ free access to the very presence of God. We follow Christ into the Holy of Holies. What can we say to this? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What a Savior. These cherubim are also in Solomon's palace. This is 1 Kings 7, verses 29 and 36. "And on the borders which were between the frames were lions, oxen, and cherubim. He engraved on the plates of its stays and on its borders cherubim, lions, and palm trees, according to the clear space on each, with wreaths all around." And listen to how the psalmist opened his prayer in Psalm chapter 80 and verse 1. This is how Psalm 80 begins. "Oh, give ear, shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned above the cherubim, shine forth." Now that is a great way to begin our prayers. Try it this weekend. As you spend time in prayer with God who made the cherubim, these majestic heavenly creatures, and who God stationed to protect the way to the tree of life. Well, I hope this is giving you a sense for who the cherubim are and how they function. What a privilege it is to have the whole Bible. You and I can read Genesis 3 in light of what comes later in Exodus and the Kings, the Psalms, Ezekiel, and of course in the New Testament in Matthew, and the revelation of Jesus Christ. We try and make sense of the cherubim from the full context of the Bible. I hope that you will not take the Bible in your language for granted. It is inexhaustible, written for our instruction And as long as we have it in our hands, and we have the freedom to read it, let's do it. Let us become real students of the Scriptures. The cherubim are reflective of God's presence, and beginning on Monday, we will discover what this flaming, turning sword is. I hope that you will join us then and invite someone else to join with us. And I hope this weekend that you will dedicate some time to read the passages we have cited and discussed the last 2 days. Believe me, this is just what you need. And you'll leave the Bible inspired for worship of the one and only living God. He's worthy of our worship. Let us use the word in worship of him. Indeed, you and I will join with the living creatures in heaven who, day and night, do not cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is to come." Praise God with me this weekend, friends. Now, just before I have to go, I want to again ask you to write to me. As we draw this series in Genesis 3 to a close, I'm looking for some feedback. And by the way, I do welcome criticisms or suggestions for improvement. I am all ears. Whatever the case may be, let me know you are listening, on what station, if by radio, and how has the teaching in this chapter benefited you? The addresses are forthcoming, mark@godisministry.org, and God is P.O. Box 802, Winchester, Massachusetts, 01890. The website is godisministry.org, and you can contact me via Facebook and Instagram. The handle there is God Is Podcast. Join me again on Monday as we finish this chapter right here together for God Is. Thank you for listening to this God Is Podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.